as a pastor's kid, you have an advantage of having godly parent that gives you godly foundation.
I agree that it's a positive, but what's the difference between a Christian home and being a pastor's child?
Maybe while we're teenagers, we used to see as, you know, being intimidating or in a kind of negative way where all eyes are on you. But now that we're growing or we've grown to this level that we are, we just know that all these things, what the things that helped us, what the things that shaping us, is shaping our minds. Hi, hello, welcome to Seat Table Talk, where we dive into the life of a pastor's kid with you. The highs, the lows, and everything in between. So let's keep it real and chat about the unique ride of being a minister's child. My name is Fadi Kemi, and with me are...
My name is Ayokunle Kolade.
And I'm Omoyemi Ojo.
Yes. And today we're going to be talking on the pets of being a pastor's kid. So Ayokunle, I'm going to start with you. Growing up, how was it like for you? What were the things that you gained? What were the positive for you as a pastor's kid?
Thank you so much, Fadi Kemi, for this question. I mean, this topic is an interesting one because...
It is indeed.
Greatly resonate with me, and then I will be, by the grace and mercy of God, be sharing one or two experiences while I was growing up. Number one, for me was having a godly foundation. In this perverse word, if I'm being allowed to use that word, as a pastor's kid, you have an advantage of having godly parent that gives you godly foundation. And we all know how important a foundation is to any child. So the foundation helps you as you proceed in your life, because whatever that has been sown, whatever has been cemented, gives you the strength, the energy to go on and to go on in a godly direction. You know, for example, for myself, growing up, waking up to do morning devotion, going with my parents to church. I know my parent being a pastor, I practically watching preaching to others, practically watching mentoring others, practically watching leading others. So I didn't get anything less of what he was giving to people, if that makes sense. And that really helped me to become who I am today. So yes, a godly foundation is one thing I'm going to really talk about.
Can I interject you here?
Go ahead.
So I agree that it's a positive, but what's the difference between a Christian home and being a pastor's child? Because technically, any Christian child should have that foundation, right?
That's true. Yeah, true. Very true. So Anthony, what do you think?
That means I'll probably go deep into some other conversations like attending conferences, retreats, pastors' meeting.
So more like remote, like molding you into being like a minister in the kind of way, like a young minister kind of, Does that make sense? Does that resonate with what you're saying?
Yeah.
I also think I love the point that Ayokunle brought about like attending all these conferences, because I think that's a clear difference, because the general church congregation may have the strong foundation you're talking about and they can also attend conferences. But as a minister's child, the number of conferences, retreats, and you know, everything that we have to attend over the years, it accumulates and builds a stronger foundation. So I think that's a very good point to back his first point.
It's worth it. So what about you, Yemi? How is it for yourself?
I think I'll take it from where I currently stopped, and I would say it has helped me with leadership skills. Because when you see your parents lead, and also as a pastor's child, you're automatically drafted into certain roles, and they tend to be leadership roles, right? Eventually, you become a head of a particular department or assistant in a particular department, and you learn these skills very raw, and you get to mm-hmm. practice them on a weekly basis. So I think it's helped me with my leadership skills, not just in my Christian journey or in church, but also outside. So in terms of career, in terms of any other thing I'm involved mm-hmm. in, it comes naturally to me, which I think is a great positive. Because if you compare yourself to other people in like school, secondary school, who don't go to church, who are not Christians, who are Christians, but they're not pastors' kids, they're, when you compare their leadership ability, you'll see a difference for sure. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, that's true. So for me, I think mine is like in two phases, and it kind of curtails, it takes the question that you asked, Ayokele, about, you know, ministers, what's the difference, you know, for ministers' children and or people that are Christians generally having that foundation. So I think mine is like divided into two, because at the beginning part of my life as a child, my dad was not a pastor. He was just like a minister, but there was, and then I think he became a pastor in the later years of, you know, growing up and all that stuff. So I think growing up for me was the part of the Christian home. But because being a minister, so it was more like seeing your dad, you know, doing things on the altar and all that. Although, you know, Redeem has a system of transferring ministers when a new parish, especially in Nigeria. I know that it doesn't really happen in the UK like that. But so I think growing up, seeing my dad do all that stuff, all those stuff, it kind of molded me to be a responsible person. And because for a few years, my dad was transferred to another parish, but because we were in the teens church, we were already active and all, my dad didn't take us along with him to the new parish he was transferred to. So we were going to that other parish that he was before. And so there was this discipline that has been imbibed already growing up as a child. So you just know that even if your parents are not there to kind of like monitor you, you just need to be a child of God, you know, be like, be conscious of how you're relating, because, you know, as a Nigerian child, they say it takes a village to like raise a child. So there are people that are actually literally looking at you and monitoring you, and they would literally go to tell your parents if you do anything wrong. And so that's so it's like there's this part of discipline, there's this part of reshaping, molding that it does to your life. And I can literally say that even for every stage of my life that I found myself in, it was something that helped me stay. Because I remember when I was in the university, where a lot of things happened. I went to University of Lagos, oh my God. Like, a lot of things happened, and I literally would just look at some, you know, some people and say, why are you doing this? But there was no pressure. There was no pressure to wanting to be that kind of person, to live those kind of lifestyle, because the discipline has been there all along, growing up, regardless of if your parents are there looking at you or not. So I think that's it for me. And even when I'm not even with my parents or anymore, and I'm still living on my own, there's this trust that they have, that because they know that they've left you in situations that are way worse. But right now, they can't really bother, because they know that, it's you, we trust you, kind of. So it builds this trust, and, you know, between the parent and the children as well. So,
I like that point you phrased, because it's usually seen as a negative. Where we say that, oh, everyone's eyes is on you, and you have that pressure. But I like how you've turned it around as a positive, because actually that helps you maintain your discipline and helps you maintain, you know, everything that they've taught you. So I think that's really good.
That's really good. Yeah, it's really good, because most of us as teenagers back in the days, when you have a little freedom, you tend to do what you're not supposed to do because nobody, I mean, is watching or something. But because you've actually grown up in that space of, I mean, not having your parents always with you, and then when you're not transited to being an undergrad, you still maintain that dignity, you still maintain that
discipline you had in you.
So that's very good. Another thing I would like to touch on, Yemi was talking about leadership skills. being a leader because you've had the opportunity of working in maybe different units. However, one thing she didn't mention was the grace that you have to develop the gifts that God has given inside you. I mean,
basically.
Because, I mean, as a pastor's kid, your pastor, your dad being transferred to a new parish, basically, there is no drama, there is no usher, there is no presentation, there is no drum, there is no this one. And then you have to step in those shoes, be the usher. I remember for myself on Sunday choir, Sunday Bible study, weekday usher. So that helped me to develop some certain skills that even me myself, I didn't know I had inside of me. But thankfully, because I had that closeness, because I had that privilege, I mean, as the pastor's child, nobody will actually suspect you that you still trust money. So they can give you that trust to handle certain assignments. With that trust that has been given to you, you can then develop the skill to spur out the gift that God has given to you as a person. So yes, gift development, another pet that you
I like that because again, that's another one that people sometimes say is a disadvantage because they say, oh, how do you truly know what your calling is when you know, basically in every department? But I love what you said there because when you're doing all these various things, it helps you identify with which one you know, God has chosen for you.
Chosen for you, yes. So actually,
comes to you naturally.
Exactly.
Yeah, true. Very
and
true.
That, even though we spoke about leadership and developing skills, another thing you learn is how to serve the rules that guide service. Because sometimes it can be, especially when your parents are the pastors, it can be hard to submit to a leadership that you're very familiar with. These are the people that you see at home. You see them, you see their flaws. You see, you know, the church members will only see their strengths, will only see whether, but you see everything 360 and God trains you to serve despite of what you may know. So I think it's a great opportunity because once you then leave to your own home or to your own family church, number one, you understand that the pastors are human. You have that understanding. Your expectations are not so high.
Yeah.
You understand that they're vessels being used by God. They have their flaws, but my duty is to make sure I give them that honor and to serve in whichever way God has given me the capacity. So I think that's another perk of
and building on what you just said now, honestly, the leadership, you know, knowing how to serve. To be honest, I feel like that reshapes a lot of pastors' kids actually, because, you know, for example, myself, I remember that from Tinge Church, I remember that there was a time where they wanted to take me from Tinge Church to join the main church choir, but that my teacher then said no. She has to be in the Tinge Church. The things that she needs to learn in the Tinge Church, and it gives you know, the range of development as well, that you don't miss out of certain stages that are important in your life, because there are memories that will be created from those times, and also the things that you learn even in that time. Because I know that when I was moving from, you know, teens church, graduating from secondary school, going into university, there were so many people that, you know, they got carried away, and maybe in the later years they got their feet back. But there is this, you know, like I said, discipline and then service as well, knowing the importance of serving God, the blessings that you see that your parents have received from being, you know, servants of God as well. And so even when you are, you know, advancing in life, you just know that there is an importance of serving God because there is a blessing, because you've witnessed it, you've seen it. So you just know that whenever you're not even in that space or being in your past, your dad's church or been in the church that you were, and then you find yourself in a new environment, you know that there, and I like how Redeem is, because you know Redeem is everywhere, so you can just, even in campuses there are Redeem fellowships as well, because I went to Redeem Christian Fellowship as well. So I immediately joined, I just knew that I cannot be ordinary, I cannot just be sitting in the back bench and just be coming to church and me, you know, and just you get, so there was this, you know, thirst, and hunger for, I want to serve. So definitely, and then because of you grown as well, and over the years, you just known your strength in serving in the church back home. So for me, I've always known that I like public speaking. I'm very bold. I like public speaking. And then I also like to sing. So definitely, I just joined the choir. Like, I didn't even have to think about it. I just said I wanted to join the choir where they needed, you know, people to host events or do anything. Definitely, I will always be there. And, you know, there are a lot of people that would want to, you know, stay back, be a back because they're in a new environment and want to just be cool and come and quiet. But you knowing the blessings that come with serving, you just know that you cannot, this, you know, you can't even be comfortable sitting alone, you know, sitting in the audience or being like a member. There is this something that would say, what are you doing here? You need to serve, you need to do something. You can't, you, like, and it's not just you being busy, being, you know, filled with activity, but you having the knowledge that as a child of God, God meets you in his vineyard to walk. God needs you. So in that way, you are fulfilling God's purpose for your life as well, and not just you marking registered to say, oh, I'm a pastor's child, oh, daddy, this is what I'm doing in school, you know. But basically, it just shapes you, remodel you for life, because now we're seeing where we are now. A lot of us are, you know, being appointed as pastors, deacons, and all that. So it's like you've been your years in education, where you are in your career as well. That's how the church and being a pastor's kid is as well. So you've been shaping throughout your life. You've been shepherded as well through different stages of your life that has modeled you, has prepared you for so many, you know, responsibilities that you're carrying at the moment. And you won't feel so overwhelmed because it's something that you've been doing. It's not something that you just started.
Yeah.
It's over the years, and that just builds you up. So, and as well, it just builds you up as a Christian in your faith as well. Because definitely, you've seen where your parents have been hit by so many trials. And so, as a Christian, your faith is strengthened because you can just look back at different stages of your life where your parents also had issues like that, or even you yourself as a Christian has faced, you know, different trials, sacrifices and all that. And once you just remember how God helped you through those stages, oh my, you just know that I'm in God's hand and my future is in him. And, you know, basically, so
you need to be about your father's business. You have that understanding, the deep understanding of not just walking but serving, being just as Jesus Christ told his spirit that he need to be about his father's business. And in the place of serving, there is blessing. While speaking, there is extra blessing. You know what I mean? Because as a pastor, if you're serving and then you get blessed by other pastors, your dad's friends, for example, can just, oh, that is Pastor so-and-so's child. God bless you. The way it's going to bless you be different from the way it's going to bless the other person, even though you both are probably doing the same thing. But because your dad's friend, the blessing is going to pour on you, like the blessing is on his own child. So as PK, another thing I believe you also get is unsolicited blessings from our father's friend, our mom's friend, that are also pastors in the ministry. Because the way they come to us, the way they will bless us, the way they will treat us.
Yes.
You're in a conference, a retreat with other people, and then
honestly,
you need to get something done, you need to do this, you need to do that. Because you're a PK, and because maybe the person in charge is your dad's friend, it's going to just help you work things through, give you a smooth ride to make sure that whatever you need to do at that point in time is easily done. You know, get to get maybe promotion, maybe even they are probably selecting executives. You know, you were probably in that space as a PK.
Yes.
Definitely, they are
I'm just gonna add to what you're saying for those listening. Yeah. Obviously, as much as they are giving you that favor or granting you that favor, you obviously have the capability. It's not that they just give anyone because they know them, but they can see that, okay, this person has been trained well and I know them, so I can trust them.
All in the place of service as well.
Yes.
But just they watch you.
Yes. So to add to what you said, because we're talking about blessings now. Oh my goodness. Wait, just wait for your wedding day. That's when you will know you're a PK. Wait till your wedding day. Honestly, the gifts, the support, everyone. Then you see your parents reap the fruit of their labor. The church members, everyone is just wanting to support because they know the support that they've received. I honestly say that weddings always expose, you know, the goodness that you've done in people's lives because they're willing to pay some sacrifice or just something to assist you. So yeah, in terms of blessings, not just weddings anyways, anytime there's, you know, some sort of celebration in your life, the family of believers are always there. They go the extra mile to support, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, honestly, like you just took the words out of my mouth because I was going to say that, like the favor, you know, when we're praying and we're like, God, in a place where they're mentioning names, like let someone be that, like use someone, you know, through your mercy, call my name out. So that's how it is because, you know, they've seen you grow. They've seen how you've grown over the years, how, you know, beautifully you've achieved things for yourself as well. And how, you know, you stood out for yourself, how outstanding you've done remarkable things and everything. And they were just, so they don't even have to think too far. And they just say, oh, I know this person. Oh, yeah, I trust this person. Just give it to this person. Like, and they would, you know, and it's not even a part of you not looking for a guarantor. You already have a ready made guarantor, like someone that is willing to stand for you to say, you know what? I trust this person. Choose this person. I can say anywhere, I can vouch for this person. And that's the beauty of it. And you know, because growing up, maybe while we're teenagers, we used to see as, you know, being intimidating or in a kind of negative way where all eyes are on you. But now that we're growing or we've grown to this level that we are, we just know that all those things were the things that helped us, but the things that shaping us, is shaping our mind. Because, you know, if there was this insecurity of if I do this, people will say, oh, and the pastor child is doing this. Because there was a time I sat down to myself to say that, you know, how Nigerian mothers can be, and I think mothers generally or African parents can be, where they are so disciplined, like they're disciplinarians to the core, and then you feel like they're not even letting you breathe. And when I see myself now, and see where I am now, I just know that I wouldn't be here without those nurturing, without those shaping, because those things have helped me with decisions that I've taken in life. They've helped me at stages where I've gotten to where I'm like, no, this is not the kind of person that you are. This is not the child that you've been raised to be. You are a different person. You've been taught to be outstanding. You've been taught to be excellent. You've been taught to be remarkable. So you having those core values at boldly written in your heart, you just know that you can't just settle for less. You can't just be anybody else. You have to be, you know, because a lot of people are looking at you, and not just yourself. You're creating a pathway for younger people, younger generation as well, that are looking at you, that I've seen the remarkable things that you're doing. And they definitely are saying, I want to be like you. I want to be. And definitely you are praying that they should be greater than you. But you're not just leaving for yourself now. You're leaving for generations to come. And and that's the beauty of it, because it's just shaping thoughts, and it just helps us to, you know, strengthen us in our walk with God as well. You know, you're vibrant, you're fire branded. So honestly, the pecs, if we keep going on and on, there's so much, because I know a lot of people who settle and focus on the negative get discouraged, you know. And the truth is, whatever, like, you know, we have pecs and they're negatives as well. And to be honest, it's not all pastor kids that would turn out to be the way you want them to be. And but that's why we have the Holy Spirit. We have ourselves who are benefiting, and we know that we've benefited. And then we can also try to encourage them, try to pray for them, and help them see reasons why they, you know, they can benefit as well. So honestly,
that's why I just wanted to add another positive is the networking and community that you like PSF, for example, that you are opportune to join. So PSF is a blessing. I think when I was younger, being a PK was a pain. That's the honest truth. We're looking back now, and like you said, they are positives because they've molded us to be great individuals. But not the reason why some of us could stay in that role and in that training process without giving up and taking advantage was because we had platforms such as Pastor Seed Family to kind of hear those that are ahead of us. You know, what we're saying now, that's what they were saying, though we couldn't see it, but it gave us hope. It gave us hope. It gave us understanding that don't worry, with time, you will see the advantages of being in such a
I think for me, the last thing I would like to add is being a PK gives you the advantage of seeing things at close quarters. What do I mean? Your father is a parish pastor. Gets to church early, probably leave late, or you most likely leave late. Who that come to church see the rosy aspect of the church, of the ministry? But you see the scenes behind. You've seen the effort, the energy, the resources that your parents are putting into the advancement of the church, into the growth of the church. You've seen that the prayers, the sacrifices that they are putting in. You see how the administration of the church is being run. You have the privilege of seeing things at close quarters. You have the privilege of, knowing some things that are not public to the entire church. And this will help you, perhaps, you're going into the ministry in later life. You will know that church running administration is about coming to church every morning and leading and just preaching. You know, there is work that needs to be done behind. There's so much of sacrifice that needs to be put into the church if you want the church to truly grow. There are a lot of self-deniers, self-disciplines that need to go into the church. So this will actually help you shape it because you've learned something. I mean, first-hand information, first-hand learning. Had the privilege of learning from your parents, both at home and in the church. Yes, that's, I believe, this is of being a pastor's kid, especially for those that will eventually become pastors in the future.
And then it just, as you were saying, and you just brought this passage where it says, it's renewing of your mind, transforming of your mind. Like, there is something at work in you. Like, those things, it's working patience. It's working long suffering. It's working a lot of things, like, in yourself. And before you know, you start to let go of things that are not godly in you. Like, when I mean, like, for example, myself, I think growing up, I used to be this angry bird. My friend used to call me angry bird. But over the years, growing up, seeing how your parents will handle issues, seeing how things will be so annoying, you know, because our parents are pastors, they have workers, and workers would test your patience. But some workers will come late. Some workers, when you're supposed to be available for certain important meetings, that's the time they decide to be absent, you know, and without permission. And then, you know, your parents, instead of flaring up and, you know, being so mad at them, you know, it's a part where there is now placing discipline, but with love at the same time. So you learning these things, you've seen these things, you're picking values, you're picking values from them, you're picking life lessons from them. And it's renewing your mind, it's transforming you to becoming a better person, because whether we like it or not, those things tend to make us mature. It tends to make us more exposed as well. So when you find yourself in situations like that, you definitely know how to handle it. Cause I think it helped me a lot, because I found myself in situations like that when I was serving in school, and I had some people that wanted to be on my nerves. But seeing how my, you know, pastors, my parents, ministers, pastors had handled those things in the past, I just see that humans will always be humans, but there is a place of you having the Holy Spirit to calm you down, the spirit of discernment as well, and knowing how to watch your words and controlling what you say. So there is a place of building wisdom and patience.
Yes.
So honestly, it's so beautiful. If we keep going on, it's a lot. It's actually a lot. So honestly, being PK, I think it's a sacrament. It's the first blessing for me. Honestly, it's the first blessing for me.
We've actually spoken well, honestly, because all of these perks have actually helped people like myself, people like Yemi, people like yourself to grow. To, I mean, I believe as a PK, if you actually pay attention to your growing up, and then you have a faster pace of growing than your peers that are not PKs, if I'm not, you have this level of maturity that people are not picky, don't have. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, to be honest, because I mean, you've learned things first and you've been stretched.
True.
Stretched. I mean, your dreams are not your age in terms of responsibility wise.
Yeah.
You have laid down some responsibility to undo as a PK that, I mean, for example, for someone like myself, I remember, when I slightly left the teenage, and then we had our teen's pastor was being transferred out, and there was a vacuum. So there was nobody to, at the time, pastor the teen's church. And the teen's church was actually a church. They have their own building, have their own structure. So they run their own services. So there's somebody to pastor, to actually pastor the teenager. The parish pastor just said, "Are you calling? Go and do it." And even at the time, he told me to come and start attending pastor's meeting because I was a pastor of the teenagers. I told him, no. He hasn't gotten to that, sir. He hasn't gotten to that. I mean, imagine that kind of a thing. So as a PK, gives you that leverage, gives you that opportunity, gives you that edge over your contemporaries that are not PK. That's another thing I believe helped me for personally, and I believe also helped you guys as well.
Yeah, it is.
I just would want to just use this opportunity, as we're doing throughout this podcast, to encourage those who are younger that at the moment it might not seem like it's what we're saying, but that will be the case. And as Arakuni has said, if you pay attention to the opportunity God has given you to grow, to develop yourself and to become who he has created you to be, then you will take this life opportunity with both hands and just say, "Lord, use me, mold me, create me to become the person that you have already, you know, ordained for me to be." So stay in there. If you have any challenges, we have Pastor Seeds family. Reach out to us. We'll be more than willing to, you know, have a chat with you, discuss and guide. We have those ahead of us who are still giving us advice, because it doesn't end. You don't just stop one day, wake up one day and be like, "Oh, I quit." Whether you're in your parents' church or not, if your parents are pastors or ministers, you automatically have that title, and that expectation will follow you regardless of where you want to hide on this planet Earth. So I think just take the opportunity to reach, if you're struggling at all with anything, because there will be struggles, just speak to someone. And it's all about a change in perspective. Once you have that change in perspective, you will enjoy the process.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So I guess that's us for today.
Yeah.
What do we have more? Yeah, basically. So to be honest, being a pastor's kid is one of the sweetest experiences ever, because it stays with you to the end of your life. And the blessing is generational, to be honest. It comes like generation to generation. So yeah, to anyone who's a pastor's kid and you feel like, "Oh, the pressure's too much," to be honest, just stay there, because trust me, there is so much blessing.
Yes.
There is so much blessing in the past. Like, so much. So, yes, thank you so much for joining us today as You know, we spoke about the fact of being a pastor's kid. It's been so wonderful with myself and Ayokunle, and yeah, me. It's so beautiful to, you know, speak about this as people that have experienced, and you know, the different stages of being a pastor's kid. So I hope you do enjoy, or you did enjoy the conversation, because I'm sure that you've listened from the beginning till now. So and if you have got, you know, questions as well, we have a Pastor's Kid Family United Kingdom. So you can go to our Instagram page. We're there. You can reach out to us from there. And from there, we can take it. So I guess that's us for today. God bless you. Do Thank have you. A lovely day. Bye.
Bye. Bye.